Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Friday morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. Oh, yes, TGIF, thanking God that it's Friday. How are you doing, my friends? Got any fun plans this weekend? Oh, man, the weather's going to be absolutely gorgeous. And again, I keep saying this about every single day. I love weather in the 80s, and I love the Willamette Valley and how amazing it is. And looking ahead in the forecast, I mean, it's so crazy for me to think that everybody says, oh, Oregon, you're going to move to Oregon. It rains all the time. And it's been interesting for me because I'm almost longing for a nice shower and some rain. But I'm also very grateful for weather in the 80s. And I kept saying yesterday, my gosh, there's not even a cloud in the sky. This is incredible. And maybe today I'll do another adventure later on today or maybe even into tomorrow and get out over to the coast. I just love the fact that right here in the Willamette Valley, we're a little over an hour away to the mountains and a little bit over an hour away to the coast. I can't imagine living anywhere else right now. It's such a beautiful place. So glad to have you along today, and we have a wonderful show in store for you. We want to hear from you later on. We'll open up the lines in the last segment and get your feedback. Well, I had a chance again to watch night four of the convention last night, and I have to be honest with you, I have not been very in tune in the past to conventions and watching online and that kind of thing. Maybe it was because I was raising my kids and they were very active and lots of things to do and working two or three jobs in the past. I just didn't pay much attention, even though early on in 2004 in South Dakota, it's pretty active, the early 2000 in the Republican Party. In fact, I won an award like the most inspiring young Republican or something like that. And so I was involved at one point just kind of serving and wanting to learn the perspective. And in the studio with me today, I have a young man. I'll say young because he's about the age of my kids. His name is Josh, and he's really not, I mean, he is way beyond his years in wisdom and common sense, I will say. Josh, thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I think like the third or fourth time that you've already been on, and I just love your perspective. Thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome.
And in the studio with him, he's brought his son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's hanging out with us too. And you're a dad, you're a single dad,
yep.
And you are a businessman. And I love your perspective on life, and I've just been inspired by you. You remind me, in a sense, of a younger version of me,
yeah.
Wanting to get involved, roll up your sleeves and make a difference. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance, Josh, to watch any of the convention. Did you get a chance?
I've been able to glance at it.
Okay.
Yeah, but things have been really chaotic right now.
You're where I was, you know,
yeah.
10 years ago, basically. And I want to play this clip, and I want to get your feedback. Now, I haven't briefed you
sure.
on this at all.
Okay.
I think this is really interesting. Here is a young individual who was raised in a great home, not unlike probably you or I, and she was influenced early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get your viewpoint on this. So
okay.
We're going to bring it up for the audience here to listen to this cut from the convention on night three.
My name is Abby Johnson, and I spent 8 years working for Planned Parenthood, but today I'm a pro-life activist. When I was in college, Planned Parenthood approached me at a volunteer fair. They talked about helping women in crisis and their commitment to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. I was convinced to volunteer and later offered a full-time job as a medical assistant before my promotion to director of the clinic. I truly believed I was helping women, but things drastically changed in 2009. In April, I was awarded Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award and invited to their annual gala where they present the Margaret Sanger Award, named for their founder. And Margaret Sanger was a racist who believed in eugenics. Her goal when founding Planned Parenthood was to eradicate the minority population. Today, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award. Later in August, my supervisor assigned me a new quota to meet, an abortion quota. I was expected to sell double the abortions performed the previous year. When I pushed back, underscoring Planned Parenthood's public-facing goal of decreasing abortions, I was reprimanded and told, abortion is how we make our money. But the tipping point came a month later when a physician asked me to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion. Nothing prepared me for what I saw on the screen. An unborn baby fighting back, desperate to move away from the suction. And I'll never forget what the doctor said next. Beam me up, Scotty. The last thing I saw was a spine twirling around in the mother's womb before succumbing to the force of the suction. On October 6th, I left the clinic, looking back only to remember why I now advocate so passionately for life. I founded and currently run And Then There Were None, a nonprofit organization that's helped nearly 600 abortion workers transition out of the industry. For most people who consider themselves pro-life, abortion is abstract. They can't even conceive of the barbarity. They don't know about the products of conception room and abortion clinics where infant corpses are pieced back together to ensure nothing remains in the mother's wombs, or that we joked and called it the pieces of children room. You see, for me, abortion is real. I know what it sounds like. I know what abortion smells like. Did you know abortion even had a smell? I've been the perpetrator to these babies, to these women. And I now support President Trump because he has done more for the unborn than any other president. During his first month in office, he banned federal funds for global health groups that promote abortion. That same year, he overturned an Obama-Biden rule that allowed government subsidy of abortion. He appointed a record number of pro-life judges, including two Supreme Court justices. And importantly, he announced a new rule protecting the rights of healthcare workers objecting to abortion, many of whom I work with every day. Life is a core tenet of who we are as Americans. And this election is a choice between two radical anti-life activists and the most pro-life president we have ever had. That's something that should compel you to action. Go door to door, make calls, talk to your neighbors and friends, and vote on November 3rd. Take action that reelects our president, and do it with our very most vulnerable Americans in mind, the ones who haven't been born yet.
Abby Johnson on night 3 of the Republican National Convention, the most compelling, I think, testimony during the convention. And I'm curious, Josh, at your feedback listening to that as a dad, as a business leader, as someone who's younger than me, my kids' age. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I'm absolutely blown away. I mean, just the description of the vile acts that are happening, I'm still just, you know, it's breathtaking to, I mean, just imagine what kind of things go on over there. I mean, it's murder.
It is absolutely murder. And when we talk about our Constitution and our constitutional rights and protecting, and I want to contrast this morning, where I'm going with this is, can you imagine an America with this actually going on day after day and not shut down during COVID, mm-hmm. can still considered essential? Can you imagine if we got this excited in protecting this life, the life of the unborn in the womb, as we did about people that were shot or mm-hmm. killed during riots and by police? If we had that outrage, can you imagine America that protected the most vulnerable, the most innocent in the womb, and had that same kind of momentum?
Well, wow. And that is what America used to be all about. That's the funding fundamentals of what America is, mm-hmm. is standing up for the unborn and standing up for the less fortunate and making sure that everybody's equal and everybody has a seat at the table. And that was the whole American concept. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we've been kind of infiltrated, I would say, you know, by these different evil forces that have basically been running different aspects of the country, we've all been asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now, more than ever, people are starting to wake up and we're facing the great awakening that we are. And so it's important for us to come back to our roots and come back to mm-hmm. our foundation. And we have an opportunity now to ask ourselves what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, and being able to measure those things in things like this, to where hopefully we can drastically change these instances and these cases, to where, you know, there are circumstances where some people feel that they need to do that. But I just think that the PR is really bad. And, you know, there's a lot of money going into abortions, and there's a lot of money being made on abortions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're actually keeping those babies alive and selling them
mm-hmm.
for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean,
yes.
If that isn't the tell all, you know, think about this, of they're saying, oh yeah, the abortion's good, like no problem, we'll take care of it for you. But they're not telling you, like, they're literally selling those baby parts.
If we were doing that for animals, if we were keeping animals alive and harvesting their organs and things on the cause of medical research or whatever, and people found out, there would be a complete outrage. Why isn't there an outrage on human life even more protected, should be protected, and yet it's this contrast in society?
I just think it's a little bit deeper. So they've been instilling their people, you know, I think there's good and evil,
mm-hmm.
personally, and they've been installing these people in all of these different agencies, in all of these different organizations, in all of these different things, to where they control it. And they're able to control that and make moves on the chessboard toward their goal.
Their complete control. When we get back after this, I got a few questions for you. And I'm really wanting to reach your generation. I really want to know how we can be effective in that. So I've got some questions for you.
Awesome.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Josh hanging out with me today. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Kind of had a cool thing happen the other day. My mom in South Dakota was listening, and she had my granddaughter overnight, which was pretty cool. And the two of them were listening, and I don't know that my granddaughter, Chloe, had ever listened to Grandma on the radio, or that she recalled. Maybe she remembered me when I was on Christian radio up in her area when she was really little. But she heard me tell a story. If you've been listening all week long, I told a story of a for instance in my life where I really, as a single mom, saw God in real life meet a need of mine. And my granddaughter was particularly inspired by that. And it reminds me that we have a responsibility, listeners and friends. We have a responsibility to tell those stories and be sure to let our generations know of those four instances where we felt hopeless, cornered, troubled, and we said a prayer, we saw a miracle come through, because that's what builds faith. That's what brings faith. And I want to say, I've got Josh here in the studio with me. You know, Josh and I met at one of the Open Oregon rallies, and he was one of the organizers of it. And I when I met Josh, my faith was stirred, and I was encouraged by his motivation and enthusiasm to make a change here in Oregon and stand for the Constitution. And Josh, I think our listeners and some of us that are maybe more mature are trying to figure out, how do we connect with this generation? How did we get where we're at, and how can we connect? And obviously for you, you're not caught up in all the chaos, right? You've risen above that, and you see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it work for you, and how do we reach this generation? What do we do?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question.
Mm-hmm.
I think every marketing agency in the entire planet is trying to figure out how to reach these people. And in some cases, they're, you know, like the BLM and Antifa movement, we see success in their outreach.
Mm-hmm.
But they are extremely well-funded and extremely organized. And it's easy to sell chaos. It's easy to sell the easy path. It's easy to say, hey, you don't have to try. You don't have to stand for really anything. And yeah, we'll accept you. Come on over here. And I think that's really a core fundamental of my generation and youngers and stuff, is they don't know how to. I mean, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them don't want to work. They don't want to put themselves forward. They don't want to have resistance, and they're always trying to kind of take the path of least resistance. Not that they're scared, but that's just, they feel that they're smart by doing that, and they're kind of outsmarting the last generation.
Well,
right?
And
does that make sense?
Yeah, and I see some of that. They're warrior, keyboard warriors. They're
mm-hmm.
they're easy to do the attack thing on the computer or online or hack and those kinds of things because they know so much more. They've been brought up with it. But yet when they're face to face, they can't have
Correct.
A debate. They
exactly.
cannot use their words. They're using acronyms like LOL and
yep.
you know, and all those things.
And the reality is they're still scared little kids inside.
Mm.
And they didn't have that connection with their parents, and you know, whether it be vaccine related, I have my speculation, which I've been trying to figure out, where was that disconnect? How
mm-hmm.
how is there this huge transition from all the previous, the Gen Xers and beyond? How was this transition to where the millennials, there was this, they lost. There's this disconnect,
and this
that
apathy.
Happens.
It's an apathy too. Exactly.
Just there's just a huge transition between them. I mean, I personally don't have a lot of millennial friends. I just don't connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I just don't feel like they have the, or you know, they're just at a different stage in their life.
Right.
But just I've been trying to figure that out. So it is a really good question. I personally think that there was something that happened, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and I'm not making excuses or anything like that, but there's something that happened that caused that disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I think it really comes down to like just kind of an emptiness. Is they're on iPads all the time. They're on phones all the time. They communicate through text. They don't know how to communicate in person. They don't know how to make eye contact. They don't know all of these things. So there's kind of this natural emptiness that they have, and they're chasing more fulfillment by pursuing more digital consumption.
Acceptance and things that way. I know that my work in in sociology and my work with being a foster parent and mm-hmm. working with children in crisis, that there's a term called reactive detachment.
Exactly.
And there is this disorder out there where there are several now adults who have never had a meaningful attachment
exactly.
to anybody or anything, or if they did, it was suddenly traumatically taken away.
And let's dig a little deeper off of mm-hmm. that. So that's interesting that you're talking about that. So now we have a whole generation of people that have this detachment disorder,
mm-hmm.
right? And what's happening? They're getting it, they're reaching them through these iPads, through YouTube, mm-hmm. through Facebook, through Twitter, Google, whatever. And they're saying, hey, you guys are the future generation.
Yes.
Stand against your robbed future. Your future's been robbed. Stand with us and fight the patriarchy. And now they have these huge droves of people
mm-hmm.
and they're giving them direction. They're giving them purpose. They're giving that false sense of things. And now we have these Antifa BLM people
mm-hmm.
that are causing a bunch of chaos and they don't really know what they're doing or where they're going or anything.
They don't, because when you question them, they
exactly.
can't give you anything.
And so, but you got to remember, these people have nothing.
Mm.
And so when you're, you know, trying to, you know, communicate with them or talk with them or reason with them, they have nothing. And they've chosen the path of nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they've tried and they failed and then they gave up.
Yes.
Or they have somebody that's kind of mentoring them in the wrong direction.
Right.
And so they're kind of misguided. The reality is if they were just to take a step back, try to actually do something in their life, despite all the outerlings and all the criticizers and everything, and really just say, hey, you know, I want to be a painter and I'm going to go paint,
mm-hmm.
right? Or I want to do this. I want to fly a plane or I want to do this. All they have to do is just go do that and realize, just like every other future generation, every other person, you have to try and try and try and try, and maybe you'll have a chance at the American dream, the success. So.
That is so very good, because it circles back around. We are in an identity crisis, aren't
That's right.
we? We're going to come back after this break and dig a little deeper. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Stacey Ann hanging out with Josh today, this Friday. The last segment, we're going to open up the studio line to you. That's 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this Friday. TGIF. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. Want to remind you, go to our website, kslm.news. We'll have this up on a podcast this afternoon, and you could share with your friends and family and continue the conversation. You know, I've got Josh in the studio with me, and Josh, you talked about this last segment about this identity crisis that we're in and the youth that are getting caught up in this activity and finding some identity in it. And I'm just really curious, you talked a little bit about it, and I want you to bring out some highlights of some of the things we talked even during the break.
Yeah, so, you know, this identity crisis, it's almost fabricated on how it's either perfect opportunity or they just kind of happen to fall into each other of these organizations that are capturing the minds of the youth and basically brainwashing them out of their future and brainwashing them out of their reality, you know, and telling them that the whole world is racist and all cops are bad and evil and just this crazy ideology. And they're having to ramp it up and double down. And, you know, it's really just a victim of just pure digital indoctrination
mm-hmm.
to where they're literally able, you know, somebody, suburban kid, you know, has decent uprising or, you know, maybe single family home, whatever. But they didn't have a bad childhood. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. But all of a sudden that kid's in D.C. marching against the RNC guys telling them that they're racist and they have no real experience of racism and they're white and they you know, they're denouncing all of this stuff, and just crazy lunacy.
Looking for a cause.
Exactly. And so this whole movement is, it's been hijacked. You know, I think there are some real issues that should be addressed, but there's issues all over the board. And, you know, it's really been hijacked, and their purpose is being misrepresented now. And, you know, there are some very sophisticated people running these operations and basically capturing all of these kids and telling them, hey, you guys are going to join this revolution and you need to do this. And the kids have nothing to lose. They have no jobs. They have no future. They haven't built toward anything. They have these worthless degrees and huge amounts of college debt, which I think was a scam too by Obama. Notice how everybody in 2011 through 14, everybody and anybody can go to school, and they had all these free tuition programs and everything else. They don't tell you that's non-expungible debt.
Right.
You cannot get out of it. You have to pay that. So everybody's pissed off rolling into 2015 with all this college debt. Here comes Bernie Sanders saying, hey, free college for everybody. We'll wipe that debt because you didn't get that dream job that you wanted, you know, with your degree.
Manipulation.
So it's a long process.
So you were talking to me a little bit. After the RNC last night, I just shut it off and went to bed.
Oh,
but you were saying that there was some stuff going on last night.
Yeah, so all those protesters, I don't know if you guys knew that there was some protesters out of in front of the White House standing out there, and they were harassing everybody walking to their hotel rooms, walking to their cars, like really legitimately getting in their face, screaming at them. And this is that adolescent youth of emptiness to where these people, they're not trying to have a conversation. You know, they're asking people, you know, how do you feel about, you know, the police brutality? How do you feel about police brutality? And yelling in their face, just trying to get a rise out of them. And it's like, well, how do you start a conversation like that?
Oh, yeah. When you're in your face and you feel like you're threatened, it's like I saw video footage yesterday of a black woman coming onto a patio dining place somewhere in America and a young couple sitting there having their dinner. They had their mask right there and they were having their dinner, and this black woman comes up to them, and they were a white couple, and started getting into their face. You need to raise your hand and BLM and this and that. And they're just kind of looking and non-responding, right? Just kind of looking with big eyes. Finally, the guy puts his mask on, like, because she's in his space, you know, and she's just causing all kinds of havoc. And it's almost like they're inciting, trying to get a response, so that they have that gotcha moment, which reminds me of the young guy with the MAGA hat.
And and that is their tactic. So we got to understand, the media is collaborating with these guys, and they're literally creating a picture that doesn't exist through all these gotcha exercises, and it's called agitprop that they're doing, trying to just incite, you know, different perspectives and different things, taking clips, blasting it all over the internet, then that now becomes the narrative and that becomes the truth. And that's really what's been happening. Jussie Smollett, you know, with that whole deal, it was fake, completely fake. I mean, so much the Chicago police were, you know, threatening to arrest him. And I think they were talking about pressing charges. I don't know if they ever did. I didn't follow up.
Of course,
with it.
We never hear the rest of the story.
Yeah, it kind of gets buried. But that whole thing where he said that he had these white guys jump him in the middle of a parking garage at 2:30 in the morning in Chicago, and they put a noose around his neck, the whole thing was fake.
Right.
100% fake. And so that is in the name of some of these rioters, and they feel like they're— they didn't get the memo that it was fake because they've been compartmentalized.
And the NASCAR thing.
Oh, the NASCAR.
The hanging whatever that's hung there for generations.
Exactly.
In a shop.
Yep.
All of a sudden is a noose and this big false flag, which it wasn't even the case, you know, and this big response and this ripple down response. And I just think that we are in a situation where our kids are being manipulated horribly. And I remember in high school, right here in Sprague, I remember going through media literacy classes. Like, how do you look at the information being brought to you? Maybe it was in my sociology class, but how do you look at that and evaluate the perspective and make sure that you just don't bite immediately? And I think they've lost, not only are they not teaching civics, and people aren't learning how to use their words to come together with their differences. Mm-hmm. They're also not learning how to be smart about evaluating when information is coming to you. And I want to open up the studio lines, 503-589-1220, and I want to hear from you. So we're going to bring in a caller, and I believe we have Art on the line. Good morning, Art. Thank you for joining the conversation. What do you have to say today?
I'm a good Stacy. The bottom line is that this is the struggle between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And we must take our country back. We must put God back into the schools and back into families. In order to defeat all this garbage that is going on. We have Democratic leaders who want God to be taken out of our country. You have Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, who are supposedly Catholics and who supposedly... if they believe in their religion, are supposed to be fighting this stuff, but they aren't. They want to take it all out of our country, and there's where the problem lies. And we must be proactive in defeating evil. I mean, there just is no doubt in that. And the more we do together to say, no, you're not going to take God out of school.
Yep.
No, you're not going to teach our kids that premarital sex is okay. And you can, if it feels good, do it. It's just, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
And if we all do our part, we obviously can make our country better. We can educate our kids better. And if you focus their eyes on the right things instead of the wrong things, obviously things are going to get better.
You're making a great point, Art.
That's an awesome point.
I want to say with that, Art, the best way that we can do that, I mean, ideally, we know what we need to do. The best way we can do it is by getting registered to vote and voting our values at the ballot box. We have another caller. Thank you, Art. We're going to take the next caller. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining the conversation today. Who do we got on the line with us?
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Pat.
Well, hello, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What I wanted to talk about was you made a comment a little bit earlier about the young people and these rioting and so forth. And mm-hmm. I heard something. Now, I like to listen to Glenn Beck, and so I'm going to use his name right now. And he had something on Wednesday night. I don't have all this stuff about, you know, being
That's
able
okay.
to get his broadcast and all this kind of stuff.
No worries.
But it's about the children in school and how they're being educated. And there's... a new, something new anyway, that's coming into the school system, and they were telling about it's the third and fourth grade of youngsters being taught how to riot.
Oh.
They are making signs and so forth.
Yep, I don't doubt it. I think that's it's absolutely disgusting. And Suzanne Gallagher locally here mm-hmm. really talks about that, and she's a huge advocate, you know, in combating against some of the education systems that the Department of Education is doing. And she makes some really good points on how they have separated themselves from needing to listen to the parents and listening to the parents, and they've been completely hijacked. And that's why they push so hard for free education, because they've mastered the system on how to indoctrinate your kids from birth all the way into that rioter that's on the street. Mm. They figured out the brainwashing formula. So not necessarily taking your kids or sending your kids back to school is not necessarily the answer. It's reinventing the system on how we are educating our kids.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Pat, for joining the conversation today. You have a blessed day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Now, Pat was my Sunday school teacher, and talk about a significant influence in my life. I'm so glad to have her calling in today. We're going to continue the conversation after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I've got Josh on air with me today as my co-host. We're having fun, and it does go so fast. The hour goes so fast, especially when we take calls. And I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. They are ready to go above and beyond to serve you with your real estate needs, and they're a sponsor of the morning show. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. Another young couple making a difference in the community. Thank you, Dave and Paige Smith. And as we continue the conversation, you know how I am, Josh. It's one thing to call out the darkness, and we know that there's good and evil going on, but there's some amazing good things going on right now.
Tons.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think that we are in the age of the Great Awakening right now, to where a lot of people, they're not letting the evil slip through the cracks anymore, and they're getting more emboldened to challenge it and talk to it and communicate with it. And in some cases, they're red-pilling people, and a lot more people are kind of taking control of their lives again and kind of getting off the reservation and getting more independent thinking, engaging. And so I'm seeing a lot of really good things when it comes to that as well, with just everyday interaction with people.
Well, and it's a reset. You know, certainly this COVID-19 is a complete reset where people are starting to look at, well, what have my kids been learning in school? And maybe this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Maybe I can put them in private school where what they're getting taught in school is what I got taught.
Yeah.
Values and arithmetic and math and reading and the real deal, not just social justice stuff. And so I think all across America and all across the land, there is a, like you said, an awakening.
Yes.
Just like there had been in past times.
Exactly.
And that people are like, whoa, in my whole family, in my circle of influence, it's time to stand strong. And I think the last few nights in the RNC, I don't know, I so many of us have not been able to even go to church. And those of us that haven't been in church for a while want to go to church, can't get to church. You know, so there's this hunger that is growing. There's this hunger to grow for truth and for to be around others who think the same.
Correct.
Community, right? And really, when you read the Bible, okay, I'm going to get on my little preacher's pulpit for a moment. When you read the scripture, and even if all you do is read the red letters, in the older Bibles, they had the red letters of what Jesus said. And if we just read his words and do what Jesus did, he had compassion for the needy. He had compassion for the lost. He went and visited those in prison. He commands us to be as he was,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then he told us we would do greater things. So he didn't, you know, when he died and resurrected and went to be with the Heavenly Father, he didn't say, okay, have fun with that.
Yeah.
Then they empowered us with the Holy Spirit, and he told us we would do greater things. And it is the Great Awakening, I believe.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, like, the best thing to live by is treat others as you want to be treated.
Yes.
I think that is such a fundamental start for people, to just start treating people well.
Yes.
You know, have the best intentions. Even if this person's you think is not healthy or not good or anything else, that's okay. You can still do good stuff for them, and they can have that.
Yes.
And maybe they'll be more receptive, you know, to that. And I'm seeing a lot of positivity. There's just a lot of things going on, a lot of good things, and people, you know, the COVID thing has really kind of forced us to have a little bit of a reset.
Yes.
And reestablish our humanity and reestablish our family bonds and our family connections, and call that old relative we haven't spoke for with in a long time. You know, there's some good things that have come from this. Even though that there are some bad things, you know, there's still some really good things that have come from that. And I'm seeing that, you know, people, I feel like you know, the hamster wheel's been turned off and people have stepped off of it now.
Yes.
And are wandering through the world again.
Yes, and looking, even though we're masked up, we're still looking and we're looking to connect. And
yeah.
I do know that one of my favorite scriptures is it's the kindness of the Lord
mm-hmm.
that leads to repentance. And one of the things that I think is being broke here, and it'll be interesting to hear feedback. And again, if you have feedback on this show, send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. But I think the religious spirit is being broke.
Yeah.
Where you're going around hitting everybody over the head with the Bible and you need to get in line. And I think what's happening is compassion is rising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that kindness and where you can love people where they're at. And it's up to the Lord to do the changing. Us hitting him over the head with the Bible is not going to bring change.
Yeah, lead by example.
You lead by example and love them where they're at. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's time to raise that bar and look for ways to be a part of the solution. Now, it does mean we stand for truth, right?
Absolutely.
If you have a governor who's oppressive and saying to doublespeak out of her mouth, you know, the fires, let's get in control of the fires, blah, 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 but allowing riots to happen in her state, tearing down her biggest city, that's not right. And as people of values, we need to stand strong. And I think this recall effort's good.
Yep.
And now we have an opportunity to have a reset, do something different.
Absolutely.
People are getting involved. They've never been political before. They're not Democrat, Republican. They're not even libertarian.
Yep.
They're non-affiliated. They're getting involved because no more on their watch they can allow the destruction of their communities.
Yeah, and they've been non-affiliated because of the destruction that these politicians have been doing both on the right and the left in Oregon. You know, they've both been a part of this program for so long, yet we're still dwindling downward, right?
And the interesting thing with that is at the national convention, many of them have said for 47 years, mm-hmm. Biden has been in control.
Correct.
And he's done nothing.
Yeah.
Pelosi's been in control. And they're all of a sudden coming up with these great plans and criticizing Trump. He's been in for 3.5 years and gotten more done than they have in almost 50.
Yeah, Trump was the reason JFK got assassinated. You know, and he's also the reason that we landed on the moon. And he's also the reason that, you know, that we all woke up today.
Yeah.
And he is the end all be all. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. The reality is they've parallel constructed the good versus evil and the evil, which is to me the Democrats right now and and what they're harnessing, what they're selling and their fear and everything else. It's all an evil base, but it's a parallel construction to try to confuse you. Not that being a Republican is the way that you need to go. However, just be aware of those things, of what's going on and what they're doing. They're selling you, they're manipulating your mind into believing that they are the truth and the light and everything else, but all the tea leaves on the wall are saying otherwise.
Exactly. And they're just a little bit off. If we can get
just
off
a little bit. And that's why they try to capture everybody so much, because one little strand on that sweater will unwind their whole program.
You know, I used to say something to my kids growing up, and maybe if they're listening today, they'll remember this. But if you have a chocolate chip cookie and one part of it's dog doo-doo, are you going to bite into that chocolate chip cookie? You know, it's like you've got to have a reality here and you've got to have your eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And if we could take that energy of all these kids and put it in the right direction and have them see that Nancy Pelosi and all the Democrats that have been in charge, especially here in Oregon for the last 30 years, are you upset? You should be upset at the you have the right reason to be upset, but be upset in the right way.
Yep.
You know, and so these are all things that I think we all are thinking about today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Josh, for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
Everybody have a great Friday.
Yep, maybe come back next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this fantastic Friday. Have a wonderful weekend, friends. It's going to be in the 80s. Beautiful. You're going to enjoy a wonderful weekend. We'll be back Monday, Lord willing. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Be blessed.